you here this morning. Got to see some people I haven't seen in a while, so that's always good. And we are kind of in an Easter series piece here. So if you do have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew this morning. We're going to start there in 26. But my visit to the state capitol was good. Very interesting, and I learned a lot there and saw how chaotic things can be, but also there's a system of how they do things there. And also know that our state continues to need prayer. It just does. From some of the things I've saw and some of the meetings I was a part of, there's always, and it doesn't matter, there's always going to be division in this world. There's always going to be division. So, but we are in our Easter series here, and Matthew chapter 26 is where we're going to be today. But just last week we started talking about the Last Supper. So we hopefully you learned something from there. It's a little different styles of preaching, but it's I think we just need to continue to learn about God's Word, especially in this time of Easter. And so let's go ahead and we'll do that, and we'll jump into this. And just if you know, sometimes just hearing the story, if you've heard it before. Let me tell you, every time you read it, you're always going to get something. It's not something new that wasn't there. It's just something that you're catching, or it's a remembrance of you. And sometimes the Holy Spirit works in a way that today, than He was 3 or 4 years ago, that He's going to work on something else different for you to catch. And I pray today that you'll catch what the Holy Spirit has for you today. But today we're going to be looking at two things. We're going to look at two things before we come up to the cross. We're going to be looking at the prayer in the garden today and the arrest. And next week we'll be talking about the crucifixion. I know it's Palm Sunday, but this year we're going to be looking at the resurrection. Last year we did the Palm Sunday, but this year at Palm Sunday we're going to be looking at not the resurrection, but the crucifixion. And of course Easter we'll be looking at the resurrection, and then we will do another piece and we'll finish it off the following week. But here we are in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. He says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And He told the disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, He began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, 'I am deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me.' Going a little further, He fell down. He fell face down and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will.' Then He came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and He asked Peter, 'So couldn't you stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' And again, a second time He went away and He prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, Your will be done.' And He came again and He found them sleeping, because they could not keep their eyes open. After leaving them, He went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then He came to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? See, the time is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. See, My betrayer is near.'" I want to share here a few things that comes out here in this piece here. And I'm always thinking that the time when I want to, there's certain times, some of you are not night owls. You might be one that goes to sleep at 10 o'clock at night. That would be early for me. But some of you are like, I'm already out by 9:30. And some of you don't go to sleep until like Scott, who doesn't go to sleep at all, but will be awake at 4 in the morning. If you want to text somebody, I'm not telling you to do that, but he will answer those. He's awake a lot. Yeah, not knowing anybody that cannot sleep as much as him. Maybe you are one of those. But most of us need sleep. I need 6. I love more, but I need at least 6 if possible. But, you know, if I'm tired at night, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, if you pop a Mountain Dew, I know it's bad for you, but that will wake you up. And then you have a hard crash. These guys didn't have that, but they had something that was more powerful than that. They were in the garden with Jesus. Being in the garden with the Son of God, it was a special moment, and we're going to see here that what Jesus wanted here, as we see in verse 38 and 39, is just basically He's taking Peter and He's taking the two sons of Zebedee. He's taking some guys with Him to go and pray. Folks, sometimes it is good to have someone pray with you. And if Jesus says, I want some guys to come with me to pray with me, then I think if Jesus wants guys to pray with him, I think we should be able to say that I need some people to pray with me. Don't you think? But we as Christians, we are hard. We're stubborn. We don't share our burdens as the Scriptures tells us to share our burdens with one another. We struggle with that. We struggle opening up and doing that. But praying, prayer partners are a good thing. It is a good thing. It's an encouragement and support. And if Jesus, the Son of God, was looking for that, then I think we also should be looking for that as well. Everybody needs someone that they can rely on to pray with. And if you don't have a friend or two, you need to look around. You might have more than you think. And also, you can ask God to put one into your life. Sometimes that can even be family as well. But we all need someone to help us pray through some things. And Jesus is asking these guys to do that as well. But also what we see here is Jesus is bringing these guys down this into this garden. He's doing that in a way that he's doing it, that he's asking these guys to go a little bit further with him than the other disciples. He's saying, listen, I want you to walk with me. And sometimes we need someone to walk with us as we go through a trial and we go through something that is a hard time. You know, everybody will say we're praying, you know, that even when someone in our church is maybe at the hospital, but most of us, doesn't mean we don't care, but we will pray as a church, we will pray for people. But then there's a group that will end up putting more prayer time in it, and then there's a few that will actually go make the visit. And sometimes we do need the people to make a visit alongside us. Not to go just because it's your spouse and people think, oh, they just need the rest. They do. But sometimes just going with someone to the hospital, just riding along with them. I've done that many times. But people think just because you're a pastor, you do that. I did that even before I was pastoring. Maybe not quite as much, but you just get in the car. You go with a couple people and you go and you just meet. And that's what's going on here. We need somebody to go with us sometimes down those halls. Into those hospitals, and we need to be able to take people with us from time to time. But I want to tell you, you can only take people so far sometimes. Jesus, it says he left them there, and then he went, the Scripture says he went a little bit further. It's the little bit further is where it's going to happen. Sometimes you're not allowed to go into a room. Sometimes you're not allowed to do something, but you can go and you can be with them. But just knowing that you're just so many feet away is an encouragement. But Jesus is saying, here you guys, stay here, pray, pray, pray. I've got to go. What he's saying is, I got to do something you can't be a part of, but you are a part of it, but you can't go to that place with me. And he goes over and he begins to pray. And it's a tough prayer. Talking about if this cup could pass, if this cup would pass. But Jesus would say, not my will, but your will be done. It's a tough thing. But he would come back and he would find them sleeping. He would find them sleeping. And then he would go off and pray again. And then he would come back and he would find them sleeping. Was these guys bad guys? No. They were great guys. They were great guys. But Jesus would need that support and that encouragement. But God gives us things that sometimes... God gives us things in the right opportune time. Jesus goes off and he prays again. Let me just tell you what happens in the book of Luke. Sometimes, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John seeing the same game. They're seeing the same playing field. They see the game on the field, but they got different seats in the bleachers. If you're watching baseball, which we're getting ready to go into baseball, you're behind the home plate. You can really tell who's throwing strikes and who's not. You can hear the umpires. But if you're sitting down on the first base line, you're watching the same game. But you can watch first base better than anyone. And same thing on third base. Even if you're out there, way out there, outfield, and you're in those stands out there, somebody hits a home run, the guys behind it can't catch it. They see the home run. They just get as excited as everyone else. But they have an opportunity maybe even to get the home run ball. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John is singing the same piece. And Luke puts something else in there. And he says this in Luke chapter 22, verse 43. This is a good piece. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. So an angel of the Lord came down. The Father sent an angel down to encourage and to strengthen Jesus. Those guys didn't see it. They weren't a part of it. This is what happens when you go a little bit further. When you go, the Lord will, and He will. He's already there. And so He gives that strengthening to an angel. But here it says in the very next verse in Luke says this, being in anguish, he prayed more fervently. Let me tell you, you will pray even harder when you get an encouragement. You'll even pray harder. And it says, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. That didn't happen until after the angel came and strengthened him. Even when you feel like you can't do something, you keep on praying, and I'm telling you, God will come in. You may not take it all away at that moment, but there's a strengthening that we can get from the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we see Jesus going back and forth and praying and coming back and finding the disciples. He says, you know, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. You know, in your heart and in your heart you're there, but physically you just, this was a big night. If you go back and see what happened, just go back and reread the Last Supper. This is a big night. And it's not over. But Jesus knows what's in front. And these guys were just falling. They were just, you know, the Spirit says, I'm going to stay awake, you know. You know, there was a time when we were, Carla was pregnant. We were getting ready to have Tyler. It was Tyler, our middle son. And I was exhausted. Now, that's horrible because a man thinks about himself and not what's going on in the room. But I didn't go in there. I was the Ward Cleaver type of guy. I never went into the room when my kids were born. I just didn't. If you want to judge me for that, that's okay. I took Ward Cleaver style and I stayed in the room. But here's the thing. It was taken for a long time and I ended up falling asleep on the couch. And a couple of people said, well, how are you falling asleep? I said, I can't stay awake. I was totally exhausted. Of course, you go to work all day, you do those things. And so it's not a bad thing that these guys were falling asleep. They wanted to stay awake, but they were just struggling. Sometimes we're a little hard on the disciples and we forget really what all they've been through. This has just been, their whole world has been turned upside down. God is using them. They're walking with the Son of God. And they fell asleep again. And Jesus says, it's time to wake up. I want to remind you that Jesus went back and he began to also pray for the same thing. Sometimes we put guilt on ourselves and we feel guilty because we pray for the same thing. But the scriptures here said that Jesus went back and prayed for the same thing over and over and over. It's okay. You can pray for the same thing. If you know that it's in your heart, that's what's on your mind. Listen, if you got a family member or you got a problem, you're not going to pray for other things. You're going to pray for what's on your heart and what's on your mind. And that's what God wants to hear. That's what he wants to hear. He don't want to hear lip service anyway. He wants to hear from your heart. And this is what Jesus was praying, the same thing. Well, he says, you're still sleeping and resting. The time is near. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. And so we pass from the Last Supper. We move to the garden. Jesus spends time there praying. Disciples, I think they prayed some, but they kept falling asleep. And now that chapter is done. Now they are here to take Jesus away. Here we're going to go into the book of John. We're going to go into the book of John in chapter 18. Here's where we spend the rest of our time. Here's where I wanted to get today. We're going to pick it up in chapter 18, the book of John, verse 2. Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas took a company of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees and came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing everything that was about to happen to him, went out and said to them, who is that you're seeking? Jesus of Nazareth, they answered. I am he. Jesus told them, Judas, who betrayed him, was also standing with them. And when Jesus told him, I am he, they stepped back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, who is it that you are seeking? Jesus of Nazareth, they said, I told you I am he. Jesus replied, so if you're looking for me, let these men go. This was to fulfill the words he had said, I have not lost one of those you have given me. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. At that, Jesus said to Peter, put your sword away. Am I not to drink the cup the Father has given me? There's a lot going on here. This is a lot of high stress, anxiety. There's a lot going on here. Let's break it down. How's that? I want to remind you here that it says in verse 2 that Judas also knew the place of his disciples where they went. Judas knew this place because he's been there. Judas has been there. Just like some of you. You come into the church, but you know him, but you don't know him. You know him, but you don't truly know him. You know the place. You know the church. You know what we do, and you know it, but you don't know it. Judas knew the place. He knew the place where Jesus would pray because he prayed there too. But he knew the place and he knew it, but he didn't know it. This was a sacred place. This was a praying place. Judas not only betrayed Jesus, but he also betrayed this sacred place. And Jesus would spend time. He spent time here a few times and prayed. And Judas, knowing who he is, he knew where Jesus would be. Just like some of our relatives that don't come to church, they know where we are this morning. They are not going to call you because they know that you are faithful in your worship and attending church. They know that you are a believer. They're not going to call you. Most people's phones will not ring on Sunday morning when a person is a believer, because they know that you are in the house worshiping. People know where you go and what you do when it comes to church. Nobody calls me on Wednesday nights at 6:30, 4 to 7, whatever time we get done. They won't call because they know where we are. They know where I am. Judas knew where Jesus was going to be. Okay? He did. But here's some of the crazy things that I've seen in here. They gave Judas troops. What? It says, so Judas took a company of soldiers and some officials. Wow. Are you kidding me? They pretty much kind of gave him, you lead the way, Judas. Here's some troops. You lead the way. Judas had this little millisecond of some power, not only just for the money, but he also had some power. Verse 3, so Judas took a company of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees and came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. He's the betrayer. They're following him. He's the lead. That's what he's doing. He didn't care. He didn't care what he was about to do. He gets a bonus here. Now he's kind of puffed up a little bit. I'm in charge. People following me. People are following me. Feels good about it. I want to remind you, as we were talking about when Jesus was at the Last Supper, the Scripture said, we read that the Scripture says that Satan entered into Judas. Now, I do not think, in my opinion, this is my own personal opinion, Satan's still in Judas right now. I'm going to see this thing through. Doesn't tell us when he leaves, but tells us when he went in. We don't know the exact time when Satan left Judas, but I want to remind you that Satan entered into Judas. I do not think he left at this moment. Evil as at its moment. This is what we see. And sometimes people get to a place where they begin to feel sorry for Judas. We begin to feel sorry for Judas. That's our man. That's our heart coming out. But what kind of man was Judas? What kind of man was Judas when it comes to all this? Well, Scripture tells us. In the book of John, it tells us in chapter 12, there was a woman that brought something to do something, to anoint Jesus. It says, John chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, it says, then one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, the one who was going to betray him, said, why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? As verse 6 says, he didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. Now, I didn't say it. Scripture says he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of it when he wanted it. And people would feel sorry for him. And people feel sorry for him because there is a time when he kind of has this moment. And it doesn't mean because somebody stole something that they're bad, but this guy was in the ministry. He stole these things, but his heart never changed. It never changed. Now he sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. So what we see is we see a man that's heart does not change. It wasn't that taking from the money bag was just, it was that he never changed. Because we all have sin in our life. Right? Because there's a part that we're not going to get to, but Peter even curses, even sees Jesus eye to eye and denies him. I mean, to me that would even be worse than taking something to deny Jesus. Wow. And this is verse 5, verse 6. It says, when Jesus told them, I am he, they stepped back and they fell to the ground. There's a lot of things happening here. And he fell down. They all fell down to the ground. Here's my thing. They didn't even catch it. They are so spiritually blind, they didn't even catch it. They all stepped back and fell to the ground when Jesus spoke. That's the power of the voice of God. We miss that. And you wonder, why didn't anybody catch that? It wasn't an earthquake. Why didn't anybody catch that? And when he told them, I am he, they stepped back and fell to the ground. Just kind of a little segment of what's going to happen in the end times. Every man will kneel before God and confess that he is Jesus Christ, that he is the Lord of Lords. Just a little bit of peace in this world that you see that. And unbelievers and believers, we're just, here it is. They all stepped back and fell to the ground. The power of Jesus. The power of the Lord. And then we see a unique piece about Judas. This comes out of Matthew, like I said, seeing the same game, seemingly see the same thing. Matthew puts this piece into Matthew 26, verse 49. So immediately he, who is Judas, went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and he kissed him. Just the dagger, he went up there and he said, greetings, Rabbi, and he kissed him. Wow. And that's something. That's an interesting piece. This is a betrayal kiss, is basically what it is. Because that was the code. The one I kiss, it's him. But Jesus already said, I'm he. Wow. And then we get a little excitement going on because everybody else is burning. They're all these, a couple of these disciples are burning. They're ready to go. They want to fight now. See, that's what we do when we're not in the spirit and we're in the flesh. We want to fight. We want to get angry. We want to call things out. And even if it's in truth, and even if it's 100% truth, you can still sin even in 100% truth by your anger and your heart being deceived yourself. You deceive yourself. And your anger can come through that, and your thoughts and your attitudes and all of that. But Peter's going to do something. In verse 10, then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And he cut this guy's. This tells me, one, he had already sharpened his sword. He was ready to go anyway. And it tells me he's pretty good with a sword. And he wasn't going for a stab. He was going to take somebody out. I wonder if he had Judas on his list. I'm just asking. Anybody that got in front of Jesus, I think, was ready to go. Peter was ready to go. He was ready to go. But sometimes we as Christians, we cross that line too, thinking that what we're doing it for God. That's what Peter thought. He was doing it for God. He's protecting Jesus. He already said he already confessed that he's Messiah, so he feels like he's got to protect. He's got to protect. Sometimes when we think we're fighting for God, we're fighting against him. What does Jesus say at that moment? He said, put your sword away. Am I not to drink the cup the Father has given me? Where did that come from? That come from the prayer that Jesus had, the cup. He's already okay with it. He's good. He's been strengthened. Don't want to do it, but I've got to do it. So he's able to say that. He says it. He even says, don't you know that I can call down all the angels of heaven? That there's a bigger purpose here. And so he struggles with it. And he ends up, and he just can't handle it. And then Mark chapter 14, got to hit Mark 2. Mark chapter 14, verse 50 says this one verse. He says, then they all deserted him and ran away. And folks, that's exactly what a lot of American Christians are doing today. Because it's getting a little bit tough in the church. Our political world is getting pretty tough. It's hitting harder on our religious freedoms. It is doing that. But some of us have deserted. We're deserting the Lord. We run from Jesus because something in our life happens. I didn't like what happened at church. I disagree with what they did there. COVID hit and all kinds of people ran. Like they just scattered like wild. And they scattered and many of them have never returned. And not planning on returning. I've heard so many people say, I can watch and do church in my pajamas with a cup of coffee in my living room. Jesus said, my house should be a house of prayer. Jesus expects us to be in the house of God. And then one of the key pieces is worship, and part of worship is a part of praying. You know the thing is about the church house and worship, there's a time when we specifically have worship. It's like we are in now, we have worship on Wednesday night. But prayer can be any time. And you can worship any time, but not like we do together. But prayer time, we can have that. And what we see here is so many people have abandoned since COVID. They've abandoned. Be careful that you're not trying to make Jesus out who you want him to be and not out who he really is. The church was given to us as a gift that we can assemble ourselves together and lift up high the name of Jesus and worship the Father and be filled with the Holy Spirit using the spiritual gifts. And that's another thing. I say, how do you use your spiritual gifts if you don't have a church house to go to? And I know there are churches, I know there are places that are under persecution, but they still find a way. They try to find a way to find a place in some kind of attic in a building out in the woods someplace in Africa underneath a tree. They'll try to find a place where they can worship. And here we try to find places not to worship and run away. But we are just like the disciples sometimes in many ways. We desert the Lord when it gets tough. When conviction hits us, when we hear that living together is sinful, when we have sex outside of marriage is sinful, and we sometimes it sounds like certain places pick on certain ones, but even just lying and gossip, when we hit those things straight up and it convicts our hearts, the Holy Spirit convicts us, and people want to run. We struggle with that whole thing. We want to run, and it doesn't. We are running away. From the Lord. We're just running away. We're running away from our hope. We're running away from the truth. We're running away our blessings. I don't get that. Why do we run away from God? We're running away from our blessings. Because when you run from God, you might as well just leave your blessings right there. Because let me just tell you, God don't bless a mess. But when we run from God, we run away from our blessings. We run away from His protection. We leave the peace of God there. We leave our hope there. Because we found another way. And let me just tell you, I always ask people this all the time. If your way was working, you wouldn't be here. If your way was working, you wouldn't be in that mess. If your way was working, you wouldn't be in the trouble that you're in. Let me tell you, out of the disciples' ministry, from the time when he picked them up, those who were fishing, those who were tax collectors, all those guys, to the time of Pentecost, this is where they did, this is where their lowest moment was. Their lowest moments was here until the day of Pentecost. This was their lowest moments. Right here. This is what happens when you abandon the Lord. What did Peter do? He goes out and he begins to, he runs, he follows closely. But what's he do? When he is asked if, and challenged, aren't you part of that group? Aren't you part of this guy? No, he denies him three times. Well, I thought he was going to fight to the death. Like, I'm going to be there on Sunday. I'm going to help the church with this. I'm going to do that. But then when it comes down to it, gone. So we abandon. There are people that have abandoned here. Now, if they go find another church, I'm okay with that. They find a Bible-believing church. This church isn't for everybody. We should be like that. We should be able to say if any church that is preaching the gospel, it should be for anybody. But we're so picky. We are so picky. We want to go to the menu of churches and pick out who we want instead of saying, God, where do you want me to serve? But we go, what is best for me? What is best for me? Where can I get more out of it than what I can put into it? These guys' lives are going to change here in the near future. But right now, they come to this place, and the scripture says they all deserted him, and they ran away. Now, that was forecasted, but it was still, that's what they did. They all ran away. They all ran away. Why? Why do believers run away from the Lord who can help, who leads, who guides, who gives answers, who answers prayer? The longer you're a Christian, the more you'll understand that the dangers of what it is to be a prodigal. The dangers, the longer you're a Christian, you begin to understand the cost of running away from God. And folks, there is a cost. There's a major cost in running away from God. And it doesn't get better with a nicer house, a newer job. It doesn't get better with a new car. And folks, it doesn't get better with a new wife, and it doesn't get better with a new husband. It only gets better with God. And God says, if you want me, you've got to go through my son Jesus. And when you have Jesus Christ, he knows we still wait. He puts the Holy Spirit inside of us to help us start thinking different, processing different, living different choices, making new and better decisions in our life. Folks, there are times in my life that I needed to go to the garden and I needed to pray. I needed to take people with me, but then I know that there was a place where I needed to lead them there, and I had to go a little further on my own, just spending time with me and God. To work out whatever we need to work out. And maybe that's the place where you're at today. Maybe you need to take a little step further and spend some time with the Lord. Maybe you need to bring someone with you. We're going to have that moment. Maybe you need to bring someone with you to the altar to pray with you. Maybe you need to come and pray just for you and God to work out whatever you need to work out with Him. You need to take a time and go. But maybe you're also like this second part we're talking about, where everything got chaotic and unsure of really what's happening, and you began to abandon the things that you know are solid, began to question and begin to have second thoughts about your relationship with God, about following Christ, about doing the things that you've been doing. And you're thinking about running away. You won't be alone on that highway. You won't be alone on that highway because there's a lot of people going. But I also want to remind you the hope of God is as you're going, there's people running back off the prodigal pig pen, running back down the road, back to God saying, turn around, listen to those voices. You don't have to go that far. These are two unique stories. The garden, prayer time. It is not a waste of time. It is not a waste of time. I believe it. When Jesus says, am I not to drink the cup the Father has given me? He was strengthened and had the power to say that because of the time he spent in prayer in the garden. Father, as we always conclude our services and work on them, Lord, with the opening of our altar, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will continue to move upon those that need to be moved upon today. Those who need to spend time in the garden in prayer, whatever that may your will be done. And those, Lord, who are thinking and processing thoughts about running and those kind of things, I pray that your Spirit will be upon them as well and to draw them back to you in a way that only your Holy Spirit can. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear the truth and not fall the lies of darkness. Lord, bless this time as we move into our altar time. In Christ's name, amen. Let's